look, I regret nothing. My only crime is being Italian. That's all I did.
Look, I thought that the princess was kidnapped by Bowser. How was I to know that she actually dates him and was not kidnapped? And in fact, I was the one who was guilty of kidnapping when I broke into Bowser's castle and rescued her. There was no way for me to know. Values were different back in my day.
Which is it? Chris Cuomo is the Luigi to Andrew Cuomo's Mario, or is it vice versa?
I think for a while you would say that like Chris Cuomo is definitely the Luigi, because Andrew Cuomo is like big shot governor. Sometimes he's like, maybe I'll run for president. He writes a book, and then sometimes he goes on his little brother's show and he's like, oh, hey, how are you? Good job with this CNN bullshit. If you ever want to run for office, talk to me. But now it's a bit of a fall from grace. Now we're in sort of like a Luigi's Mansion scenario where suddenly Chris Cuomo is the top dog.
Well, he's Andrew Cuomo is also like this part, the you know, latest in this political dynasty. Which just leads me to believe that like there's no way that his dad wasn't also doing all of this shit. Like Mario Cuomo, there's no way that he wasn't also like pinching women's asses or whatever the fuck Andrew Cuomo did. It's just things were different back then. He's Italian. It's so obvious in hindsight, you know?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, was it a mistake to ever let Italians hold public office in America? Possibly.
I would go even further and say all Catholics. I think they should just...
I think that's fair, too.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, you're out of there.
That's right. Yeah. That's the thing. Now, New York, now that it's kind of rudderless, I think that it's becoming more likely every day that we're going to get like an escape from New York type scenario where they're just like, fuck it, turn it into a prison, send Snake Plissken in there, and let's see what happens.
God, if only. Can you imagine how much property value would drop if it became a fucking prison island? You could you can get a 2-bedroom in Williamsburg for only $1,000 for a month, probably.
Still,
maybe
so
$800
bad.
If you really knew someone.
Yeah, yeah, that's like twice as expensive as any Midwest like medium sized town.
Well, come on, Todd. I mean, it's a prison. It's still a prison, but like, you got the waterfront, you got some of the bars are still there. It's Williamsburg, baby. You got to pay the piper.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't be much different, because like the people that choose to live in New York now, they do kind of behave as if it's a prison, because they pretend like it's impossible to leave.
Yeah, you just kind of make your peace with the rats, and you suffer when it gets really hot or cold, and you're like, well, no other way that life could be but this. So it's just me and the rats, and we're chilling.
Yeah, it's like this martyr syndrome of New York dwellers. As if there's like New York and LA people, you know, there's like and they're very different. I mean, like LA people.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes you have somebody who's a New York person and they become an LA person, or vice versa. And those people are especially insufferable, because they have shown that they believe that New York and LA are the only two places in the country that we can be sure exist.
They're like, physically. Well, I got to leave. And they just hop right into like the jet stream that takes you from New York into LA. I can't stop anywhere in between. It's only one of the largest countries on the planet.
And somewhere along the way, they start doing stand up and it's just a whole mess.
They're just like, they're in the bathroom on the plane and they're like, what's happening? I'm turning into a comic. What's the deal with me? Why am I a stand up comic?
Yeah, being like a 20-something who tried to make it in media, couldn't make it in media in New York City, so hopping on a flight to LA to try and make it in film, and as soon as the stewardess puts the microphone down, you jump up and grab the microphone at the front of the plane and start trying to do like a tight five of like your stand up.
Yeah, you're just doing a loose five and you're like, wait, this is perfect. Where else is everyone going to get my material about airline peanuts? They have them right there. It's fucking shooting fish in the barrel. And you're like, oh, welcome everyone. This guy, he's got the peanuts. What do you think of those, sir? Pretty disgusting, aren't they? And then no one laughs.
It's literally like, oh, a captive shit. Audience. I mean, like, well, because in this scenario, you also are dual wielding box cutters.
The first hostage situation on a plane since 9/11, and it's just because somebody really wants to do a tight five and they have been trying at open mics all the time and they keep getting cut and they eventually snap and they're like, look, 100 people will watch me do stand-up if I bring some box cutters on this plane.
Actually, they'll let you bring box cutters on a plane now, just as long as you're wearing a mask.
Like if you wear two masks, they're like, oh, sir, have a machete on the house, please. We want our plane to be safe.
They would have let the 9/11 hijackers get away with it even more than they did if they had all been double masking.
Yeah, imagine it. It's like, oh, hey, look at this. We just happened to find, we got the black box and we have Mohammed Atta's passport and we have his mask that he was wearing on the plane. Very nice of him. So I think actually we shouldn't prosecute because he wore a mask on the plane, which I think was very respectful. A lot of
they
people
all somehow survived the jet fuel.
Yeah, they're just there. Mohammed Atta is just like sitting on the ground and someone like dumped some soot on his head and he's like, oh man, quite a plane crash. I got you guys. I definitely was on the plane.
Yeah, that I don't know. I feel like it's tough because I saw a post today that was like, oh, 9/11 is long enough ago that it's like safe to talk about that it was like a giant conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And I guess, but they also killed Trevor Moore for talking about that it was a he was murdered by the deep state. RIP, by the way.
Yeah, that was a fucking, that was terrible news to get. That show is very funny.
It's always a guy that everybody loves. It's never like, it's never Kissinger. It's never what's that guy's name from the World Economic Forum. It's never fucking Bezos. It's always like, oh, this guy who made a bunch of shows or music you love and is definitely way too young to have to deserve, and karma wise doesn't deserve to die. It's always those guys.
Yeah, imagine going back to like even like 2015, because it's like, how fucking old is Kissinger now? He's like 98.
Oh,
he's
God.
Looked like a lawn gnome in a wheelchair for like 20 years. It's like every year that he doesn't die, it feels insane. Imagine going back and being like, actually, he's going to outlive one of the guys from Whitest Kids You Know.
Yeah, eventually he's going to outlive every single January 6th Capitol police officer. They're all going to commit suicide one by one. Every like clockwork, every month from now for the next 30 years, a Capitol police officer that was on duty on January 6th is going to commit suicide.
Yeah, what the fuck is happening with that? Because it's like the weakest sauce fucking like nothing even happened to them. Like some of them got like pushed over or something.
They're not committing suicide. They're being killed. They're being murdered by the deep state.
Yeah.
And it's you know, four of them have committed suicide. If you accept that one, it was like January 6th was a fake coup in order for the deep state to align with Silicon Valley and the dominant liberal apparatus. You have to also accept that like they had help on the inside, you know, inside figuratively. So and who is the loosest end of that? Who could unravel that whole thing? It's the cops. So as soon as they, you know, because like they have algorithms that they know way more about us than we think they do. Like Facebook has an algorithm that can just tell by what you like on a certain day what your mood is. So if there's a Capitol police officer who knows a little bit more than they want the Capitol police officer to know, and, you know, he's showing signs of maybe being a little bit of a liability, then, you know, check on your friends, people, because especially Capitol police, it's not like they have unions that get them mental health care, anything like that, you know? It's a real tragedy.
If you have any friends who work for the Capitol Police and were involved in January 6th, make sure to DM them the suicide hotline. They're going to need it soon.
Yeah. What's the copy pasta? Hey, I'm actually dealing with a lot right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. It is funny because like recently there was just a news cycle about... Because I forget where, but some cops did the thing where they have like a video of a cop like falling on the ground. And it was like, this cop touched fentanyl with a gloved hand and it went into his system and almost stopped his heart. And hell every news organization is just like, yep, that's how fentanyl works because the cop said it. It's not completely made up at all. But what you were saying about January 6th makes me wonder if that's almost like a tacit like warning to cops. That's like, just so you know, if you try to cross us, we will dose you with fentanyl, a lethal dose, and then say it was because you touched a bag of fentanyl. And then we're going to give you a big fucking parade and act like you were a hero for getting fentanyl off the streets. But really, it's because you were going to be the next Serpico.
Yeah, I 100%. I mean, like, we already know that they'll kill off protest leaders, like, not just historically, you know, going back 50, 60 years, but also, like, every fucking summer. You know,
absolutely.
Like in the past couple of years, every summer there's like a couple of fucking Ferguson people burned in their fucking cars. You know, it's the same kind of deterrent. It's like if the cops see that, oh, well, those guys, you know, those guys had like loose lips about whatever happened and mm-hmm. they got suicided. You know, it's just to keep you in line.
Yeah, that's why you have the cops who like testify in front of Congress and have like crocodile tears about January 6th. Like those are the cops who all were like in the cop community theater
oh, yeah.
performance of Our Town. And they were like, oh, these guys are really good actors. We should have them go to Congress and be like, I was so scared when January 6th, they pulled my pants down and I was so afraid they were going to kill me. Yeah. Yeah, they spanked me.
Yeah, a bunch of Antifa super soldiers spanked me with a fly swatter. And they made me say, thank you, sir. May I have another?
They made me do push-ups and say hoorah. It was terrible.
Yeah, don't believe a word of anything that they tell you, folks. I mean, nothing. This is Beep Beep. You're on Beep Beep. It's your Beep Beep.
It's the Beep Beep for this week.
That's right.
Once again, back at you.
Yeah, speaking of coups, the Cuomo coup, I think it was mm-hmm. a coup. It was definitely a coup. Actually, mm-hmm. okay, let's be real. First off, Why did the news of Cuomo stepping down get released right when the Senate passed that infrastructure bill that also happens to be a naked effort to kneecap the entire crypto industry?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's happening to the crypto? I didn't read about that in the infrastructure bill.
So the infrastructure bill has basically an amendment that's like, if you facilitate the sale or transfer of crypto for somebody else, you're a broker now. And you okay. need to do all of the reporting that like an actual, like a literal securities broker has to do for tax purposes.
Interesting. Okay.
Basically,
and that's just like if you sell any, because basically any transaction of cryptocurrency is like yes. buying or selling it, right?
Yeah. Like if you have a wallet, if you administrate a wallet, it's insane. I don't honestly know how effective that's going to be
mm-hmm.
because we know that like, the next 10, 20 years is going to be disastrous economically.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be depression level, Great Depression level.
Yeah.
Like, and what people, I think what people don't think about is stuff's getting more expensive. Lumber's more expensive, food's more expensive, gas is more expensive, housing, mm-hmm. education, everything. Also, what that also means is like the buying power of your dollar is weaker.
Right.
And as that gets worse and worse and worse, like, its intent is to just make you poorer, to force even people who have clawed their way into the middle class back down into the working underclass, while people who, you know, are the owners of the means of production, their assets don't depreciate. Their assets mm-hmm. are the assets that are appreciating relative to fiat currency. And I think that crypto represents a threat to that, because crypto doesn't inflate the way that fiat currency does, and mm-hmm. governments don't have control over that, which is why I think that the government has a vested interest in controlling that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that also just seems like the weirdest way to control it, of like making every individual who sells it or buys it like have to go through a bunch of regulations. I mean, I guess is what I should expect from the U.S. government. Then that, like,
oh yeah,
rather than like address anything about like the environmental problems or like all the speculation of people like Elon Musk and like, you know, all the ways that people who already are rich, because I have to assume that's like one of the main functions of Bitcoin and stuff, unfortunately, is that like rich people are using it to like get even richer and like manipulate markets and shit. Rather than address any of that, they're just like, well, what if it was much more annoying to use and everyone had yeah. to waste more time with regulations and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I believe there's applications for cryptocurrency that are good. And I also believe mm-hmm. that all the like cries about environmental appeals against crypto, those are definitely, that's a red herring. I mean, like, there's so many things that use way more power than crypto mining. It's like mm-hmm. insane. I mean,
yeah, I feel like crypto is like this intersection where it's like it uses a lot of computer power and also like it doesn't serve like a clear purpose to a lot of people. So they're like, well, if it's like useless and we're using all this energy for it, maybe we could use it for something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we could use that energy for electric cars that also run on coal-fired power plants because mm-hmm. of world government's refusal to switch to nuclear.
Yeah. Yeah. If we just had some nuclear power, we could have cryptocurrency going all the time.
Well, that's, yeah, basically. The other thing is the infrastructure bill, I haven't really cracked into it that much,
mm-hmm.
but there's arguments that it's probably going to be good in some respects. There's also arguments that it's really like slapping band-aids on a lot of the systemic issues that were caused by like the last year and a half.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just going to kick the can down the road. And it's tough. I mean, like, after the Great Depression, you had the New Deal. Like, this is not the New Deal. This infrastructure bill is like, it's mostly giveaways to big business. The New Deal, at least, like, it was flawed and it was also a big giveaway to big business, but it had significant redistributive policies in it. Like, mm-hmm. nowhere near anything that we would like hope for, but it did have some. This yeah. infrastructure bill, I don't really think has any of that besides like some minor like entitlements programs and mm-hmm. expansion.
Yeah, I've definitely not dug into it. I haven't like gotten that wonky about something in a while. I feel like I've seen stuff online. Yeah, yeah. I've seen stuff online about like the like sort of previous proposals of it that kept getting whittled down because Democrats are fucking addicted to compromise and they're like, well, we have to cut out all of this stuff that was for like green energy or whatever and all of this stuff. Like anything, any idea they had that was good, that's also the first thing that they want to like punt out to yeah. get some kind of agreement made. And you know, it's like, say whatever you want about FDR, but at least he wasn't trying to do anything like bipartisan. You know, Republicans at the time were like, this guy's a fucking tyrant. He won't let us do anything we want. Because he basically was like, I have the majority, so I'm doing whatever the fuck I want and fuck off.
Well, the other thing, like with FDR at the time, like, yeah, he just did everything by executive order. He was just mm-hmm. like, we're going to fix this and fuck you. And, yeah. and like, also, that's an interesting thing because that FDR kind of represented this realignment of the Democratic Party away from their conservative roots. And mm-hmm. I think we're this like the Biden, the coalescing around Biden, especially in like the primary, represented like the opposite of that. Like they were like, let's get back to those traditional conservative roots of the good old Democratic Party.
Yeah. They were like, we used to be a party that was racist old white people whose brains were melting.
Let's bring that
back.
We should
get back to those days. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to say that FDR like wasn't racist as well, but at least like a Democratic Party that cared about any worker at all.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had that in quite a while.
I mean, every president basically up until Obama was just blasting the N-word constantly. Like, yeah, think of a president of the United States and tell me they haven't said the N-word. I mean, you can't
come close.
Maybe Carter?
I feel like you could. Yeah, actually, I think you could have to judge it on like number of times where it's like Jimmy Carter probably in his life has said it like, like dozens of times, maybe.
He tried to he's kind of like creeping up to some guys at like one of his Habitat for Humanity construction sites, and he says the soft A.
And they all just kind of look at him like weirdly, and they're like, well, I'm not really gonna yell at a 93-year-old man who is the president and he's helping build a house, but he's just like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Jimmy, you moron. But like Bill Clinton,
hell yeah.
I would be shocked if he hasn't said it thousands of times in his life.
Clinton, I think, also definitely is more of a soft A kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. He probably, every time he saw Jeffrey Epstein, he called him the N-word.
Hell yeah. But also, yeah, I mean, wasn't it like 2 years ago this week that Epstein was murdered?
Yeah, I think it was in August. It's hard to believe. Like, it feels like a decade ago or something, or just like a different, so I don't know. There's so many things that happen where it feels like a different lifetime in some ways, just because it like demarcates so many things, like the time when Jeffrey Epstein was alive and then now.
In a lot of ways, it was like that kicked off. Like, people are always like, oh, Trump getting elected means we entered into a parallel world where, mm-hmm. you know, we entered into the bad timeline. But like, shit didn't really get that bad until like the end of 2019. Like, shit really started hitting the fan then. Like, I think that Epstein's murder, like, I remember waking up that morning and seeing the news that they killed Epstein, and my reaction was just like, come on, really?
I know. Yeah, it felt like you were like living inside of a meme or something, because it was like, how many months had people spent like making jokes about like Jeffrey Epstein committing suicide? And it was like, yeah, if he commits suicide, definitely he didn't. He was suicided by the Clintons or whatever.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a hack joke to make, and then it basically happened.
Yeah. And a couple really months strange. Later, somebody coughed into a bat soup salad, and they were like, would you like the bat soup or the salad? And they were like, we'd like the bat soup. And now we're in the world we're in, folks.
Yeah. You know, the thing I've been seeing lately, I think John posted about this, I don't know who else, like, there's a sort of like burgeoning conspiracy theory that COVID was created in a lab, but not a lab in China, a lab in the US, and then like used as a, like they're trying to use it as a biological weapon in China or something.
Didn't we think that that was going to happen?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't remember.
Wait, so what's the theory?
I don't know much like about the details. I think it seems like more of a vibes based theory. I could be wrong. Could be there's a lot of evidence, but I think it's just kind of like the vibes. I mean, personally, I would agree that it makes more sense for the US military to make COVID and then unleash it in China so then they can blame it on China rather than like China having it and then like losing it or whatever.
I think it's at this point, we're never going to actually know.
Like yeah,
9/11, probably. JFK, Epstein, everything. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. How do you avoid the public finding out the truth about something if you're a shadowy organization? Maybe you're the US government, maybe you're some global organization, whatever. You just bombard everybody with every single possible conflicting opinion. Mm-hmm. And make sure that even just a small percentage of the population believes something different. And then the truth never comes out because it's impossible for the truth to come out because nobody will ever believe, like the truth will come out and people will just think it's another conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that's something, I mean, it's like, as long as we have been talking about like, you know, conspiratorial politics and the CIA and fascism and shit on this podcast, it's like been a theme to talk about like conspiracy theories. But I feel like really like 2020 and 2021 are like the years of the mainstream conspiracy theory. And it's always really like, it's strange because it makes me start thinking about like what a world would be like where like there weren't secretive elites like lying to people all the time. Cause I feel like so many people sort of like, people have this myopic view of like other people's actions and they're like, oh, I guess being a conspiracy theorist is just human nature or something. But it's like, yeah. No, you have to put someone into like this really horrible and fucked up situation where they're constantly blasted with misinformation and lies and deflection. And it's like, you do that enough and some people start looking for conspiracies. Some people find the real ones. Most people just kind of like dead end into like the easy ones, like aliens or fucking lizard people or whatever. But it's like, none of this is a natural occurrence. It's all, you know, it's been engineered this way.
And yeah. And like you hit on a good point, which is like some people hit the dead ends, but some people do get into the real ones. And it's like, there's enough real ones where I think that, for the longest time, conspiracy theorists were the butt of a punchline. They were like the tinfoil hat character on the sitcom, or they were like the crackpot scientist in the disaster movie who ends up being right in the end. Or, you know, fucking Alex Jones. Like, there's shit Alex Jones was right about, but he shoots at the hip and he gets, you know, held up as this example because there is definitely, in my view, an initiative going on behind the scenes to paint anybody who thinks conspiratorially, who connects the fucking dots about whatever, doesn't matter, to paint them as like a right-wing nutcase conspiracy theorist. If you connect the dots about like, it doesn't fucking matter if COVID evolved naturally or was made in a lab, and it doesn't matter who made it. Billionaires got like 10 times richer during the pandemic. If you connect that dot, then the good liberals that, you know, do fucking musical numbers about wearing 14 masks and, you know, wearing a fake ID to get multiple vaccines, they think you're exactly the same as a QAnon person for being like, hey, maybe we should examine why Jeff Bezos like doubled his net worth during fucking COVID.
I fucking love the idea of someone who is like so pro vaccine that they're actually like stealing vaccines from the like developing world by getting 15 in a row using a fake ID.
But yeah, no, the conspiratorial thinking is like, it's painted as like you're an outcast. And even by some people who like just a little while ago were, you know, like they would question 9/11, but they won't question a fucking a coup in Bolivia. The other thought that I was having is like, the Epstein dying, like, set us on this path. Like, everything has just gotten progressively more insane. Mm-hmm. And you could argue that Trump getting elected was the start of that. And everything since then, it's just been more, so much more absurd since then. And it's like as if it can't get more absurd. And now we have fucking Tucker Carlson doing a segment on Chris Chan.
Oh, like, yeah.
Your boomer parents who watch Fox News now have been made aware of the existence of Chris Chan.
Yeah. Just like anything like this. I mean, it's like this has been the 2010s is like deep cut, really degenerate, insane stuff from 4chan just kind of becoming like the stuff on cable news. Basically. Oh, yeah. Like
it's meme magic. Meme magic is real.
Yeah, fucking just all of like the weirdest internet memes have bubbled up to the surface of popular culture, and now like that is culture in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of like the passing of the torch from like Gen X and boomers to millennials and zoomers as who is going to be the vanguard that pushes culture forward. Mm-hmm. Like, because now you have, like, you can pretend, like, if you're, like, a mainstream media outlet, you can pretend, like, half of your audience wasn't spending their childhood playing Call of Duty and going on 4chan and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But they did. They all did that. And I don't know. I think even just this, like, thing where they have to... Fox News feels obligated to do a segment about Chris Chan is, I think that's the start of the floodgates opening
mm-hmm.
to the point where like a year from now, it's going to be like they're going to be on the floor of the Senate debating furry rights.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting what you were saying about like, you had like Trump got elected, but then really it was like in 2019 when Jeffrey Epstein died that like things really get weird. And I feel like what's really happening there is just that like more and more people are having to like face the reality of like how fucking insane things have always been. Cause that's sort of the interesting thing about like the whole Jeffrey Epstein scandal is that it's like, you know, it was already like a thing you could find out about if you wanted to do any research. It was just like the mainstream stories were always killed.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, no one wanted to talk shit about former presidents and Prince Andrew and a billionaire. But it's like eventually people all found out and they're like, oh, I guess like Bill Clinton was already a pedophile. And like maybe that means that he isn't actually much better of a president than Donald Trump. And Hillary Clinton was running against Trump. So even if Trump lost, we would have just had Bill Clinton back in the White House, probably raping people. And it's like,
yeah,
all this stuff with 4chan, it's just kind of like all of this like dark underbelly of America, of like this rotten empire is being revealed. And people are like, oh no, this is where we've been living all this time. It's been this terrible and this evil and this corrupt and this like anti-democratic and perverted all this time.
And in order to have that realization, you have to, there needs to, like, if you're just like a normie and you're getting close to that realization, I think that your brain has an immune system to that. Your brain will be like, yeah, no, this can't be real. And it'll start putting up walls, putting up defenses.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, that I guess that's what it takes to become, red pilled on the deep state or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, you have your to break down system. All that.
Yeah, that is true. And that is sort of, I feel like, why it was like before it was possible in like mainstream pop culture to be like pushing conspiracy theorists into the corner of just like a weird guy in a tinfoil hat or whatever.
They want to keep doing that, but I don't mm-hmm. think it's possible anymore. You know,
there's just like too many things that like are conspiracies that are like very easily proven. It's like at this point, it's more of a conspiracy to say like JFK was murdered by a lone actor who was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah,
like that's an insane conspiracy theory to hold at this point. The evidence doesn't support it at all. It doesn't make any sense. There's a ton of other stuff involved that you have to like wave away. Basically, like it would count. It would be a classic conspiracy theory if like the actual facts were understood by people.
I 100% agree. Like, mm-hmm. and that's why there's a part of me that thinks like, on one hand, we should respect Trevor more and his family and everything, mm-hmm. like by not speculating. But on the other hand, he of all people would have wanted us to speculate. He did like 50% of the sketches that he did were like about JFK or 9/11 or Project for a New American Century, George H.W. Bush. Like, the guy was saying the quiet part out loud, and I think I genuinely believe that he was murdered for that.
Yeah, I don't, it would not shock me at all if that was the case. If just like, especially if it was just some like lone freak in like the FBI or the CIA or something who like got mad. Cause you have to imagine that there's like all these people are sort of like in like windowless rooms, like monitoring everything. You know, it's like they have a fucking deluge of information.
They work from home now.
Oh yeah, that's true. Everyone has to work from
home.
They
Skype in, yeah. It's like a, yeah, it's like a 30 something, like, a 30-something bi woman of color with a succulent on her desk, smiling, eating her salad with her MacBook, and she's plotting the assassination of like a world leader whose country has natural resources. Like, that's
I mean, probably. Remember that like ad for the CIA that was like a Latino woman in her 30s who kind of looked like AOC and was like, "I am Latina. I do not apologize for the space I take up, and I am in the CIA."
What was it? I have
ADHD or something? Yeah. Was it something that stupid? I have ADHD and something about depression. I've been diagnosed with depression or something.
Was it seasonal depression or something?
Generalized anxiety disorder, maybe?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Brent and I were actually just talking about this last night because we were watching one of our favorite stupid like reality game shows, which is this... the show called The Hustler. You ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
It's like an ABC show hosted by Craig Ferguson, and the set kind of looks like Clue or something, like a zany like murder mystery type thing. And the basic premise is there's like five people competing on the show, and one of them is actually in secret the hustler. They're like lying to everyone, and they're trying to, and as you go through the game, people get eliminated, and you're answering trivia questions to earn money, but the questions are all like based on the hustler's life, and they know the answer to all the questions. So it's like they have to try to pretend they don't know what's going on, but like steer the team to the right answer. And then at the end, everyone has to like figure out who it is. And they have like some really like in the first season, they had this woman on who was like a CIA agent, I think.
Hell yeah.
It was like the hustler was in the CIA. And then we were just watching one last night where it was like the hustler has worked in counterterrorism in Nigeria. And so we were trying to like look at the people and be like, which of these like, you know, sort of normal looking millennials might be a counterterrorism agent. And the woman who it turned out to be was this like fat, like blonde white woman in her 30s who was like pretending that she worked at a bar. And we were like, I guess that's who works at the CIA now. It's just like live, laugh, love type people.
Hell yeah.
Just like it would not be out of place at all to see them at like REI or Target or something. And it's like, yeah, I do counterterrorism. I murder warlords in Nigeria from my computer.
Do you remember that Twitter thing where some like 19-year-old girl who I think worked as a nurse or something convinced like a 98-year-old man to marry her and
oh,
was
boy,
like very open on Twitter about the fact that she was doing it for his money, but then
that
it turned out
so
that
funny.
The old man who had dementia. And I think they actually went through with the wedding before I think they called Adult Protective Service. She got Adult Protective Services called on her. It later came out that old man had been doing like NatSec spook shit in, I think in Africa or Cambodia or something in like the 60s or 70s.
That's
and
so
like
funny.
He had absolutely done like shit for the CIA and the deep state. So it was like on what I can't, you know, you never know.
You never know.
Maybe
who
the 19-year-old
having...
gold digger is actually doing praxis by getting back at this man who probably was involved in some sort of regime change project for the CIA.
He probably got a kickback of fucking like gold bars that were stolen from a warlord that he had
Kruger
murdered
ants.
Or something. Yeah. That is so fucking funny.
Yeah,
that is like that kind of sums up America in some ways, where it's like you have like an old man whose brain is melting who was like doing regime change in Africa, and then you have like a teenage woman who is you know trying to take advantage of whatever situation she can as best she can to make money. But also, while she's doing that, she can't help but like broadcast it on social media, because that was the real own goal of that scenario.
Absolutely.
Just
if she hadn't been posting about it, she would have gotten that bag. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I mean, you might have gotten found out eventually, but it's like, it would be much easier to keep that scenario like on the down low. I don't know if her logic was just like, I should act like it's a normal marriage, because a lot of her posts were just like her talking about like how sexy he was and how much she liked fucking him, and yeah, how like trying to make you think like, okay, like it's a big age difference, but maybe in this case she really is attracted to this old guy that she met at a nursing home. I feel like that was an element of it too. Wasn't she like working as a nurse and like met him?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
That seems like, I don't know, a little unethical. Even if the person is like not having their brain melt, it's at least a scenario where it should be like very above board. If the person's like brain does not work.
No, it's very much like it's an ethical bowl of spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. What is, because I mean, on one hand, this guy also was, you know, an intelligence agency spook. Mm-hmm. Doing shit behind the scenes in foreign countries, so maybe he deserves to have his net worth drained by some 19-year-old Twitter bimbo, you know?
Yeah, it's like he doesn't really deserve rights, he doesn't deserve his money, he also doesn't even know what's going on, and it's possible that if he could like regain function of his brain briefly, he would be like, what else am I going to do when I'm old? I don't really love my kids or anything.
You know, he could like whistleblow on the whole thing, you know, imagine like, we probably don't know how far he is into dementia, but like imagine a tell all by that man. That's like, yeah, by the way, Iran Contra, I was the guy who got coffees. Mm-hmm. I did coffee runs for that.
Oh man, I've never thought about how like fun that would be if that happened, like someone who was involved in some kind of conspiracy, like, or just like Kissinger. What if Kissinger got dementia and then started like babbling to his nurse or whatever? I guess they probably put like old CIA agents who were going crazy in like military hospitals where like all the like doctors and nurses and shit are like uniformed officers to make sure that like none of that shit leaks.
Yeah, or they injected him with the dementia serum to make him forget because he was a liability. Yeah. Which I think that's probably what they did with Mike Gravel. Probably also what they did
Reagan get dementia late in life?
The other thing is like, I mean, dementia and Alzheimer's, like at this point, I'm sure that some pharma company has figured out how to, if not cure them, mitigate them way better than whatever the shit that the public is getting. But either it's not profitable, or it's just more profitable for them to sell whatever treatments that they're currently selling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, it's probably a combination of that, or like maybe some like petroleum company has realized it's caused by some like weird plastic product they make, but they're like, well, we should just sell these out before we tell anyone.
Oh, maybe 100%.
Keep riding it for a few more years and then eventually we'll tell people.
I mean, yeah, microplastics are currently right now wreaking havoc on all of our bodies, on our brains, on the environment, like, and then a whole host of chemicals as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking weird chemicals where it's just like, we don't know exactly what they do to you, and it's also, we can't really do research on them because there's like no humans who don't have them in their bodies, so we just gotta hope that they're not too dangerous, I guess.
Yeah, we gotta go to the New Senegal or something, that island where by the rest of the human race.
Yeah, I wonder if even there, if just through like water cycles and stuff, it's in there. That'd be cool though.
Maybe
if we could like get them to agree to just do some tests on them. But I doubt they will.
No,
they work anyone who comes there.
I think it should be whatever. Like they should inherit the world. And we should all nuke each other, and we should give it to the people that haven't figured out how to do compound interest or whatever. You know, it's like we don't deserve this anymore. We as a human society have fucked this up beyond repair. The only people that deserve the world at this point are people who are completely removed from that.
Mm-hmm. Have just like kept the same like hunter-gatherer society going for a very long time. it's hard to imagine that they're not happier than like most people living in fucking industrial countries. Like,
I'm our sure they
never
are
evolved for this shit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, as if you don't know how good like the people who are way above you on the socioeconomic ladder have it, if you're just not aware of that at all, like, then you don't know how much worse you have it. You know, like if you, if all your, if your life is just farm, take care of your animals, have a couple kids, feed them, teach them how to make a fire, and then like walk into the village to trade every couple days or something. If that's like, I imagine that's a much simpler and probably more enjoyable life, because you don't have to worry about who's the main character at Twitter. You don't have to worry about bad. You don't have to get whipped up into an anger frenzy by like whatever shitty take is going around the internet this week. You know,
it's just the main character of the village, whatever shitty thing your cow did this week. Maybe don't eat the mushrooms this week because they gave Dave the runs last week. You know, be careful of that. But
it's whatever, whoever's
otherwise
a witch.
It's smooth sailing. Maybe if you got to go do a sacrifice to the witch to ever do something.
Yeah, a bunch of us got ergot poisoning, so we're gonna drown you now, because we didn't like you to begin with, but now we all think that you're a witch.
I do like that theory that like people were basically like tripping on mushrooms in Salem, and that's why they thought people were witches.
Yeah, it's that theory. It's also, I mean, I've there's the theory that is just like that's how we used to get rid of annoying people. You know, back, you know, like a couple hundred years ago, guys like Bo Burnham, they would just would have been like, you're really annoying. we're just gonna drown you.
Yeah, look, I know you're way too tall, but you don't play basketball and you have this real theater kid energy. Sorry, dude, you're the witch this year. We had to pick someone.
Yeah, I think society got a lot worse when we stopped burning theater kids at the stake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just need to burn the 10 most annoying people we can think of at the stake.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
God, yeah, can you imagine like society if Lin-Manuel Miranda was just arrested for being annoying like 20 years ago?
I know, yeah.
We wouldn't have fucking Hamilton. We wouldn't have all this other shit he does.
Yeah, fuck. Rodgers and Hammerstein. I mean, I don't know. I guess they did some cool stuff, but like they were the Lin-Manuel Miranda of their time, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like at a certain point you have to just like find the root and cut it out. I don't know.
I don't understand musicals. Like, what is this? Why are they all singing? Why can't you just do a play?
Like, I've never really gotten that into them. There's like times. I think it's like they're fun when they're campy, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like when it's like goofy.
Never seen that.
And it's actually pretty good. It's a fun movie.
I when saw it's something Lion like that. King when I was a kid. That was probably the last. I mean, I don't know, because it's like if I'm going to see a like a show or something in a theater, I'd rather it be like a serious play if people are going to be acting it out. Because like as soon as they burst into song, it ruins the immersion. Like, why are they, you know, but I mean, I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I definitely have not gone in person to see
one. Has there ever been a good musical? I would say no.
I mean, if you count like The Lion King and Aladdin and shit, like Disney movies from when we were kids, those are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's literally, okay, that's okay. That leads us to a great conclusion on the topic, which is that musicals are for children. And if you like musicals as an adult, you are a petulant man baby.
I mean, that's like most of American pop culture for sure. Yeah, it's like how many fucking iterations of Batman are we going to have before everyone gets tired of like
I like Batman.
All right. I like Batman too.
Don't
I'll probably
make fun
watch
of my thing that I like, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably watch the Robert Pattinson one when that comes out. That looks kind of fun. Yeah. He's like the really goth Batman. He's really edgy. He's definitely not a theater kid. He's like the kid who the theater kids didn't want to hang out with because he had school shooter vibes.
I love that. What makes me so fucking happy is like seeing like somebody become like a famous actor, but it's not somebody who is a theater kid, because you know that somebody who that actual successful actor went to high school with was an annoying theater kid that thought they were going to become the famous actor, but then it's just kind of the quiet kid that kind of kept his head down and got good grades that became the famous actor, and the theater kid still works at Applebee's. I take great solace in that kind of like kind of cosmic joke of karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine if someone was like a football player in high school and shoved the theater kid in the locker, but then eventually he became an actor, and then he's like, what, he didn't even do the theater, he didn't even do the camps and learn what the fuck.
Yeah, this is so unfair. Like, it's like how if you're a nerd in high school, you're always like, yeah, those jocks, someday I'm gonna be their boss. And mm-hmm. then it's like, no, the jocks all got, you know, they it's not about grades, it's just about networking. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in a cubicle making 30 grand a year.
Yeah The jock is next door to you, he makes 35 grand a year, but he's not your boss either.
But he got a really good 27% loan on a Dodge Challenger or
something. And he's much stupider than you, so he's loving life. He's gonna pay that thing off in 20 years and he's enjoying himself every minute with his fucking Dodge Challenger.
That rules.
Yeah.
What else happened this week? I feel like a lot didn't happen for a while, and now like a lot happened.
Mm-hmm.
We're just catching up now.
Yeah, the fucking Cuomo thing happening, I was not expecting that. I mean, because he already was very defiant about it when like the accusations first came out, and then yeah. I guess like just the fact that like the attorney general put together enough damning evidence that he was going to get impeached, and he was just like, I mean, I've seen people say that like if he's impeached under New York state law, it would mean he can't run for office ever again. So maybe he's hoping to like quit and then like run again for something else later.
He may have also resigned to keep his pension.
Yeah, it could be that. Like it's like, it could be like the Nixon thing. It's just like, when you know you're sure. going down, you might as well just cut and run rather than yeah. like going through a whole process.
Oh, absolutely. Because yeah. And like the other thing is straight up, it becomes an even bigger media circus if you go down swinging.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you just sink quietly back into the night by resigning, like you could spend a couple years like doing growth seminars and then come back and have like a Netflix special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
which I am absolutely looking forward to happening for Cuomo.
Oh my god, what if they did like a fucking like two-man show where it was the Cuomo brothers just doing like fucking like British style comedy of like,
oh my god,
bickering with each other and shit.
Hell yes.
That is something I wish we had a little more of in like American comedy, is two-man shows. I feel like it's stand-up comedy is mostly so straightforward where it's just like a dude or a lady with a mic, and they do an act and that's it.
That's actually a good point. When was the last time you saw a two-man show?
I saw like a special that was there's like these twin brothers that do stand up together, and they like look exactly the same. And
were they the Bogdanoff twins?
I don't think so. I don't remember what their names were. I think they're black.
Oh, the Bogdanoff twins are those rich guys that have a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, okay.
Look weird.
Yeah. Those guys are.
And there's the one, the guy on the phone, and he's always like, mm-hmm. you know.
Those guys are performance artists. They're not. They're on a higher level of comedy.
Oh no, they actually control most of what we see in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, I think they're called the Lucas Brothers.
Okay.
It's not even quite like a two man band, like a two man show. It's more just like two of the same guy doing a stand-up set. It was funny, like they kind of like play off of each other.
Wait, so do they have the same voice and mannerisms?
As far as I can remember, like they're identical twins, and
like
they,
the like, Olsen twins of comedy.
Yeah they had some kind of bit about like Richard Nixon and why they hate him, and they'd be like, fuck Richard Nixon, yeah fuck Richard Nixon, like they bounce back and forth. But it's like if you were like, we're just really high, you'd be like, man, I'm seeing the same guy twice, this is crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, that's the thing. Twins have that weird telepathy thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, do you know any twins? Identical twins?
Not for a long time. Like, when I was in school, I feel like yeah. there was, like, maybe, like, 10 sets of twins over the years that I, like, I don't
yeah,
know.
I've
I
known,
I didn't really
I've
think
known
I was,
some
like,
twins, but I don't, I've never really been tight with, like, identical twins. The mm-hmm. like, people who are twins that, like, I'm friends with always end up being the ones that don't look alike.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have the telepathic link going on. Mm-hmm. They're basically yeah. just siblings that were born at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sometimes still end up looking like really similar, because it's like if you yeah. had a brother or sister who like was the exact same age, they would look really similar yeah. to you. But yeah, it's not as cool as the ones who just actually look identical.
I mean, you have a huge advantage in life having a twin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should tax them more, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's just like, you have another guy that's you that can help you figure out all your shit.
You could, yeah, you could do two appointments at once if you like had the thing going on.
Mm-hmm. You could be like, in two places at once. You have the perfect alibi if you commit a crime.
Yeah. We should.
Has anyone ever done that? Like, managed to get away with a crime by like.
I'm sure.
By and that's why I don't trust twins. Security camera. Yeah.
You don't, you can't actually, trust them.
Because that's something I feel like I like. Don't like think seriously about exactly, but just like you walk out your front door in America, like unless you're in the middle of nowhere basically, like, and you're walking around any city, it's like you're on camera from every angle, like every bodega, the cops have fucking like big cameras up, like there's drones and like police helicopters flying around.
Well, that's why I said at the beginning of this pandemic, like the masks are a big benefit if you want to do petty crime.
Yeah, the mask is very helpful. But yeah, imagine that combination, like a mask and a guy who looks just like you. Just have that guy be like outside of a coffee shop for a while you do something nefarious. If you get asked about it, perfect alibi. That was me. Just make sure you share a wardrobe with your brother. And then like, how are they going to prove it wasn't you?
You know, you could do if you weren't a twin, but you needed an alibi like that. What if you did a pre-recorded a stream of something, but then played it as if it was a live stream on your Twitch channel. Then that was playing, you went off and did some crimes. Mm-hmm. But like you automated in some messages.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You had like a bot that would be like at 5:01, say this in the chat, and then mm-hmm. it lines up with your recorded stream. Mm-hmm. So it's as if you're interacting live with the chat.
Yeah, and just have like a bunch of people commenting, so when someone types and like they don't get a response, they're like, oh, they're too popular, I guess.
Meanwhile,
they didn't reply to me.
You're off somewhere just cleaning out the back room of a Baskin Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The next revolution. Yeah, it's like, imagine if like Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky could have all been like on stream playing Minecraft together, and then the Tsar is like, well, nothing bad happening, I can see Lenin and everyone is just playing video games, and then they storm into the fucking Winter Palace and shoot them in the face.
Yeah,
that's how you got to do it.
That's how you got to do it, folks. You have to use the tools available at your disposal. If mm-hmm. you're in 1600s Massachusetts, you have to find the most annoying guy who's also exploiting your labor and be like, this guy's a witch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You gotta when in Rome.
Yeah, if you're one of those uncontented people on the East Senegalese island or whatever, you got bow and arrows. So far, been pretty effective at anyone who tries to annoy you. By which
they've
I mean anyone.
They've killed multiple
guys. Yeah,
that
yeah.
Have
people
tried
have tried
to hang out with them.
They've tried to come in and hang out. Nope.
I wish if somebody I didn't like wanted to hang out with me, I could just kill them.
Yeah,
you know?
That's like, imagine just being able to be like, my rule is anyone who's not my crew is annoying, and I'm going to shoot you with a bow and arrow. And then also like the government is like, that's the position, we should just not bother them. So if you go there, you're taking your life in your hands. That's fucking rule.
That's another thing. Like the bow and arrow is hard to use. It mm-hmm. requires a lot of skill. If you can manage to kill somebody efficiently with a bow and arrow, they should just let you do it. Because at that point, it's just a flex.
Yeah. It's like they couldn't dodge out of the way of a fucking arrow fast enough. Like maybe they're not cut out for living.
Exactly. Yeah, it becomes survival of the fittest at that point. And you know what we are here on this communist podcast? We're nothing if not Malthusian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
If you can't survive, fuck you. That's what we say.
That's right. Social Darwinism, folks, and Marxism, they're reconcilable.
Yeah. You can actually combine them more easily than you think.
We will not be elaborating on how or why. Because
if you
want to
know how.
Yeah. Sign up for the Patreon. Beep, lettuce.
We're going to do it on there. If you want to see how, though, you'd also watch that new ContraPoints video where she seems to have terrible takes for an hour and a half. So I'm not going to watch it.
Hasn't she just been a lib for like a long... I mean...
She's been a lib for a few years now, yeah.
Like, you know, $700,000 a year mm-hmm. in Patreon dollars. Like, it kind of... You kind of have to not say anything too spicy. Otherwise... Mm-hmm. You risk it, like,
yeah.
But that wouldn't happen to us if we got to like $700,000 a year in Patreon dollars.
Oh,
we would still be
not.
Extremely spicy.
We would get more and more spicy the more money that you guys gave us.
Well, once you get fuck you money, you know, mm-hmm. you like, who cares? Who cares? Yeah. Like, you're not beholden to anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, absolutely. But the hard part is like being patient enough to wait until you have fuck you money mm-hmm. before you start saying the real shit. Because if you start saying the real shit before you have fuck you money, you'll never get to fuck you money.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is what's happened to us. We've too much communism.
That's right.
Jeff Bezos is keeping us down, lowering our algorithm.
Well, you can help boost us in the algorithm by going to the book depository that where Joe Biden's motorcade is riding mm-hmm. through in Texas and doing a little white boy summer magic.
You have the CIA we won't be elaborating for you.
But make sure you mention us in your manifesto, folks.
Yeah.
That's it for the podcast for this week. Hell yeah.
All right. See you guys later. You can listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. You can listen to Bryn's other show, Generation Loss. You can watch us on Left Trigger. And I think John still streams Mario Kart Club sometimes on the Beep Beep Lettuce Twitch. You can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Weed Pod. You can talk to us in the Discord. And we'll see you later.
All right. Beep on, y'all.
Bye. Pedophiles are raping children in underground dungeons. Are you gonna do nothing? Pizza gate is real. Pizza gate, Comet Pizza is in the mix. It's some sort of database that lists all this child sex. Starting to think our worst fears weren't bad. Rabbit hole that is horrifying to go down. Pizzagate isn't real. The only question is, what exactly is it? Trump is the one person who would take on all the pedophiles. Kanye was gonna expose pedophiles. Spirit cooking cannibalism pedophiles. Pizzagate is real. Are you going to do nothing while pedophiles are raping children in underground dungeons? Pizzagate is real. Right, are you going to do nothing? Too risky? Not worth it? Pizzagate is real. Then you become part of that people. Pizzagate is real.